say welcome to all of you. Hope you all are having a great day. It's hard to believe that this Lord's Day is the first one in the month of December. We have 1 month left in the year. It's always an exciting time of year, just with the holidays, but also an exciting time of year at the congregation because we're planning things for next year. Have lots of fun ideas. The elders, the deacons, myself, and our wives are meeting today at 3 here in the building to finalize some plans and discuss a few things in terms of next year. I think we have some very exciting and great things that are going to be starting next year. We have some good classes planned. We have our new theme and just some good things, I think, that are going to start happening here. And it's always just a fun time of year to plan those things and to be excited about what's to come. This month, we are going to look at a new series of lessons because it is that time of year that we are winding down. 1 year, and we are kind of making up for anything new. And we are always looking at different aspects of our life that might need some tweaking. And we look at some maybe weaker areas of our lives, and this is where we start making goals and resolutions on what we want to do better and how we want to be better in certain aspects of our lives. And so this whole month is going to look at different things in regards to where we might be messing and where we could be better. I first got this idea because I am somebody who, on my office computer, that little notification, you've all gotten one of these little notifications before, probably on your phone or your computer, and it pops up saying that it's time for an upgrade. And how many of you have gotten that notification? And there's always a couple options that you can choose. There's okay, which is go ahead and do the upgrade. But that takes a little bit of time, doesn't it? Depending on your computer, if you're an Apple user, maybe 5 minutes. If you're a Mac user or a PC user, maybe 20 to 30, right? But it takes a little bit of time, and we say, well, you know, I don't really want to wait. And so there's another option. I don't know how it is on a PC, but on a Mac, there's an option to remind me later. You know how many times I've clicked that remind me later? And you all probably do the same things. Remind me later. I don't have time for it right now. I don't have time to do the upgrade, so just remind me later. And then the next day, in fact, on my office computer, it has a remind me later, remind me tomorrow, or try to download it tonight. And for some reason, I never do the download tonight. I say, remind me tomorrow. I just keep pushing it off. Remind me tomorrow. Remind me tomorrow. We've all seen those upgrades, and they're kind of annoying, right? They're annoying because they take time. They're annoying because they might change things on your computers or on your phones. But there's also something that when you get an upgrade and it asks you, are you ready for this upgrade, there's typically a little button if you go into the settings, and it says something along the lines of, see what's going to be fixed. See what bugs are going to be fixed. See what's going to be added. And you have the option to see what the upgrade will bring you, why it's going to be better, why you need the upgrade. I feel like spiritually what's happened is we are up for an upgrade. And we're going to talk about some things this morning as we get into some of these lessons this month on what Jesus has done for us, on how we can upgrade our lives spiritually. But I feel like all too often, at least myself, I kind of just hit the snooze button on the upgrade. I know there's areas in my life where I need to fix some things. I know there's some places in my life where it's not as great as it should be. I think we're all in that same boat together. But when it comes to fixing the problem, when it comes to actually making the upgrade and saying, okay, today's the day I'm gonna recognize my weakness and I'm gonna fix it, I kind of just keep putting it off. It's like that, remind me tomorrow. I don't have time for it right now. Or I don't want to admit that I might need to fix something. So just, we'll do it later. This month, what I hope to accomplish is remind all of us, myself included, that later needs to be now. We all need to upgrade. We all have aspects of our life where we're not doing quite as well as we hope. This is the time of year, again, as we're winding down and we're getting ready for a new year, where we start looking at those aspects of our lives on how to be better, on how to set resolutions, on how to set goals. And so that's what we're doing this month. When you think of upgrades, I want us to consider a couple things. Upgrades need to happen, and try to think of these things in the somewhat spiritual realm as well. But upgrades need to happen when something's broken. You think about when there's a bug, or when something isn't quite working right. Have you ever had an app on your phone or your tablet that I can't stand it when this happens? If you're trying to read something or look at something, and then all of a sudden it cuts out and quits the app automatically. And so you open it back up and get back to what you were looking at, and then after a couple minutes it cuts back out. There's a bug, right? It's not working right. Something needs to be fixed. And so what the company does, you can actually go and you can report a problem to the company and say, hey, there's a bug. You need to fix this. So they send an update. Some of your phones do it on Apple, so you have to select the option. But when something is not working right, or when something is broken, we say, well, we need to upgrade this. You know what? This isn't the only time we need an upgrade. Because there's even, a bigger reason, and maybe not quite a necessary reason, but we have been trained as a society to where we think that an upgrade needs to happen when there's a newer version available. Case in point, iPhone. When the newest iPhone comes out, we might have the newest one to date, but when the new one comes out, that's what we're doing. We're upgrading. Why? Because it's new. There's a newer version available. And we've kind of been trained as a society, well, when something is new, we have to upgrade to it. Have you ever seen someone still using a flip phone? Brooke's grandpa still uses it. I forget, it is a flip phone, I think. The boys love it because they have no idea what it is. They see Brooke and I on our iPhones. The boys love Brooke's grandpa's flip phone. They flip it up and down, they press a button. What is this? What are these buttons? But when something new comes, we have to have it. There's so many different aspects of life where we upgrade because something is broken. When you feel like it's broken, we need to go get a new one. Or it's not quite working right, so let's go get something that does work right. Maybe it's an appliance in your home, like a refrigerator or a dishwasher. Maybe you'd like to do that to your kids. Hey, this one's not working right. Let's turn him in and get a new one. But spiritually, I feel like we have dropped the ball in bettering ourselves. Where we have so many different aspects of our lives where we are struggling. And yet, instead of doing the necessary work to upgrade and better ourselves, we kind of just stay in the same rut that we've always been. At least that's where I have found myself at times. I want us to read together the book of Colossians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 11. I want you to notice a couple things that Paul says there. He says in verse 11, starting there, he says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him in faith, the working of God, who raised him from the dead. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. A lot of people, you might have something in your Bible, a little heading that talks about legalism. It's talking about the legalism of the old law versus the new law, what Christ has done for the old versus the new. And there's lots of things that when we read that, we kind of tune them out because we don't quite understand what they're saying. But deeper than the terminology that some of our headings might use, what Paul is trying to tell us there is there's something broken, there was something not quite right about what the old was doing. It's because you are dead in your trespasses. Your old way of living, you are dead in your trespasses. But what Jesus has done is he has come and he has taken everything in this world that we think is so dear, the physical blessings of this world that we think are so necessary and so dear, and he says, he put himself on the cross so that you and I can have forgiveness He has done something new. And what Paul is telling us here is Christ can offer something better. I want us to consider something here. The old was broken, but Jesus brought something new. The old way of living that is in our sin, if we're going to continue in our trespasses, he says, you're not going to get anywhere. If we let the rulers of the world and the authorities of the world rule what we think and how we act and what we do, he says, you're not going to get anywhere. But what Jesus did was something far greater. He says he has taken it out of the way in verse 14, having nailed it to the cross. He's disarmed the authorities and the powers, it says in verse 15. He has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. I want us to think about where we all stand. Where do we stand spiritually with Jesus? You know, this whole chapter, you read different parts of this chapter, chapter 2. We're not going to do it just for time's sake this morning. But it talks a lot about the kind of person we're supposed to be in Jesus. That if we're living in Jesus, we need to live for Him. It says in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. In verse 9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Jesus brought something new. Jesus gave us an opportunity to step out of our sin, to step out of our transgressions, to step out of our broken lives, and to step into something that is remarkable. In other words, what Paul is saying is, it's time for an upgrade. It's time to take those broken lives we're living, it's time to take our trust out of the world, away from the authority and the powers of the world, and put them into Jesus. It's time to start living for Jesus. There's a spot in your bulletin. I want you to think for just a moment. And I don't want you to copy what I'm going to put on the screen. I'm going to give some ideas here in just a minute. But there's a couple spots in your bulletin for you to think for yourself. And for you to write down for yourself what you feel like is broken in your life. Because as we start winding down this year, I want us all to start thinking about where I need the most help. Where I feel like I'm struggling. Where I feel like I can improve. Because as we go throughout the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about some of these different areas, and they may apply to you and they may not. I only have so many Sundays in the month of December. But what you can do is you can identify the areas in your life that you feel like are broken. That you feel like you have the most needs. And I want you to write those on your paper. And then I want you to fold that paper. You can fold it into a nice little square. I want you to keep that in your Bible. And every week we come together this month. Every time you open your Bible throughout the week, every time we sit and talk about a different area in our life this month where we need to upgrade, where we need help, I want you to look at those areas of your life. I want you to start thinking, what am I doing to upgrade? What am I doing to fix the brokenness? What am I doing to get closer to Jesus in this aspect of life? But I want you to think about what's broken in my life. I want you to think about a couple of these things. What's broken in your life? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you feel like your marriage is just going down a rocky path. Maybe you feel like the relationship that was once so strong and so powerful is not quite so strong anymore. Maybe you feel like the communication is missing. Maybe you feel like you're just distancing yourself. Is your marriage breaking? Take it one step further. Maybe it's your family. Is it your family? Do you feel like the kids are slipping away? Do you feel like spiritually your family's starting to crumble? Not as strong as it once was. Maybe your family was never strong spiritually, but you feel like you need to start making that extra push to put God first in your life and in your kids' life? Is it your faith? Is your faith starting to break? Are you starting to question God? Are you starting to question His goodness, His faithfulness? Are you starting to question God's people? And so your faith is starting to crumble just a little bit. Are you starting to question your trust in God? Can you trust that He can really forgive you of all your sins? Can you trust that heaven is there waiting for you? Can you trust that all this was just put together by some ultimate being and He created us in this universe? Is your trust in God broken? Is your spirituality broken? Is your spiritual life getting to a point where you would rather live a life in the world than live a life for God? Are you forgetting about the love, the mercy, and the grace that God has shown each one of us? Do you find yourself slipping farther and farther into sins and temptations that you wouldn't dare dream of even months, maybe years ago? Do you find your spiritual life at a point where you just say, I'm broken? Is it your prayer life? I mentioned just a moment ago that when something is broken on your phone, if your internet is out of your house, if an appliance isn't working right in your home, you can call customer service and you can maybe complain, but at least notify them, I've got a problem. And you know, one of the first things to go in a Christian's life when we are going through difficulties and through problems is our prayer life. It's one of the first things we forget about. And I think that's so interesting, and I've been there. I think it's so interesting because that's our lifeline. To where when we are broken, and when something is going well in our lives, and we feel like our faith is broken, and our spirituality is broken, when our marriages are breaking, and our families are falling apart, and all these areas, prayer should be the first thing we go to because that's our lifeline to the Creator. And so if that prayer life is non-existent, things are just going to remain broken. We have to be able to go to God. But maybe that prayer life is broken for you. Maybe you say, before I can fix anything else, I have to fix that relationship with God. He's our customer service. He's the call we should make when something's not going right. When we need an upgrade, He's the one we should go to ask for help. Maybe that's the area of your life you feel like you need to work on. There are so many areas where we could probably look. Those are just a few. There are so many areas where we could probably look, and if we really wanted to pinpoint, and that's why I want you to do it for yourself. I didn't want you to copy these down. These are just to help maybe give us some ideas. But what we see is, out of all 178, out of all 178 people that are in this room, listening to this sermon today, and even the one giving the sermon today, we all have an area in our life that's broken. We all have something in our life that when we look at it, and I know we tend to be a little harder on ourselves, but when we look at a certain area, we're just not pleased with how well we're doing. And so it comes down to a choice that you and I have to make. You and I could sit there and we could just accept the fact that there are things in our life that are broken, that can't be fixed, that are problems and will always be problems, or we can choose to fix it. And we can choose to identify those areas and say, well, what do I need to do to make this better? There's a story of a couple who was having some marriage problems. And they went to a counselor. And they paid for an hour of his time. And he sat down with them. And the first question he asked, he said, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think your marriage is at? Well, the husband answered, I think it's about a 2. The wife said, well, that's being generous. I was going to say 1. And the counselor looked at him again and said, okay, second question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, would you like your marriage to be? My husband said, well, I would love it to be in a 10. I want to be strong. I want to love her again. I want to work on it. And the wife said, well, I guess I would want it to be a 10 as well. If I got to choose where my marriage would be, I want it to be a 10. And the third question was, what do you think you need to do to take your marriage from a 1 to 2 to a 10? And the husband gave a couple answers. Maybe I could take her on a couple more dates if we could kind of get back to that dating scene again. Maybe I could call her a little bit more on, when I'm on my way home from work, see how she's doing. Maybe I can buy her a little presents like I used to. The wife says, well, maybe I can be a little more kind at home. Maybe I can encourage him a little more. Thank him for his hard work when he comes home from work. I can be a little more encouraged. The counselor looked at his watch. 5 minutes had gone by. He said, good. Go do those things. Come back in 2 weeks. They said, we paid you for an hour. He said, come back in 2 weeks. And if you're not happy in 2 weeks, I will give you your money back. But go do those things. So in 5 minutes, he had talked to his couple. In 2 weeks, they came back. And they said, our marriage is completely different. They said, in 5 minutes, we were able to diagnose we are not where we need to be. Something was broken. We both wanted to get better. We just didn't know how to do it. The funny thing is about that story is the counselor made them answer their own question. What are you going to do to fix it? Go do it. If you feel like your spirituality and your faith in God, your trust in God, or your marriage, or your family, whatever the aspect is that you wrote down on your paper that you feel like is the most broken in your life, if you feel like you are not at a level 10 and you want to be, the question I want to ask you this morning is, what are you going to do to fix it? I can't fix what you have broken in your life. And you can't fix what I have broken in my life. We can work together and help each other and encourage each other along the way. But at the end of the day, I have to make a decision for me, and you have to do it for you, to fix the broken. What are we going to do about it? It's time for an upgrade. It's time to do something different. It's time to get excited. It's time to light the fire. And the good news is, what the Bible talks to us about is, there is a new you available. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. Paul's telling the Corinthian church, you can become a completely brand new person. Why? Because you have Christ. And the reason that that is the case is because you can repent and you can bury away all those sins that have plagued us and broken us for so long. Ephesians talks to us about, by the grace of God, we have been saved. That we have been shown mercy and grace, and you and I can have a completely brand new life because Jesus has put Himself on the cross. Romans chapter 6 talks about putting the old man to death. And when we put the old man to death on the cross, just like Jesus did on the cross, we go in the waters of baptism. We rise up in newness of life, a brand new person, because we've been washed clean. Now, I'll be the first to admit that baptism and giving your life to Christ is not going to fix all the problems that we have in our life. It will fix the biggest problem, and that is our sin. But we still need to continue to put in the work each and every day to devote our lives to Jesus. To recognize the areas in life where we stumble and fall. And to keep pushing forward. Jesus in Matthew 11 says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. You're broken this morning. There's a chance to fix it. If you feel weary, Jesus is here. you feel like your life needs an upgrade, now's the time to do it. Don't wait until it's too late. In fact, the longer you wait, the harder it will get to admit that you need help and you need to come to Jesus. I had a friend on Facebook. I haven't talked to her in many years, but I still haven't talked to her. I just saw this, what she posted on Facebook several months ago. And it was really funny, but it fits perfectly into what we're talking about. She had a computer that she would use, and she woke up one morning really early to go to Starbucks to get some work done there. And she had been putting off the update and the upgrade for so long. I think she said it's been years. She just kept saying that, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. You know, remind me later. We'll do it tomorrow. Well, she finally decided, hey, I'm at Starbucks. I'll kind of hit the upgrade button, let it upgrade while I get my drink and get unpacked and get ready to work. So she hits the upgrade button. She goes and she gets her drink and she comes back. And you know how it has an estimated time there of how long the upgrade is going to take? What should have taken 10 minutes, if she would have done it years ago, was now taking 8.5 hours because she had waited so long. And the picture she posted was of that estimated time, 8.5 hours. She said, I guess working at Starbucks is not an option anymore. Does that describe your spirit? Have you hit that button over and over again that says, I'll take care of my spiritual life tomorrow? I'll take care of it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later. I'll do it when I have time. I'll do it when the kids are grown. I'll do it when I'm not dealing with this. I'll do it when I'm out of school. I'll do it. Whatever the excuse is, you hit the button long enough. It's time to hit the upgrade button. It's only going to get harder the longer you wait. And I know there's some of you that are here this morning that need to give your life to Jesus. Stop hitting the remind me later button. Come to Him today. Upgrade your life. Fix the broken. Take care of the sin. Get it out of your life. I have never heard not one person who waited to give their life to Jesus come up out of the water after baptism and go, oh boy, I'm glad I waited a couple years for that. The number one regret people have when they come up out of that water is, why did I wait so long? Why didn't I fix myself sooner? That's the opportunity you have here. That's the opportunity that you're going to have every Sunday. When we come together, it's time to hit the upgrade button. It's time to fix the broken. That describes you this morning. Don't wait. If you have already given your life to Jesus, you've already asked for forgiveness, you've been buried in the waters of baptism, and you just feel like your life is in a rut. You feel like you're stalled. Now it's time to fix it. We'll help you. We'll pray with you. We'll study with you. This congregation is a group of God's people that want to get to heaven together. We want to take you with us. Can we help you do that? The only way we know is to ask for help. Call the hotline. Call the customer service line. Ask us for help. Tell us you're broken. Most importantly, tell God. We can help you in any way that we want. Come forward and stand.